seek for fellowship with God, which is the most important thing in life. Keep your conscience clear, read God's word, and say, Lord, I want to develop my fellowship with you intimately. I want to know you like a bride who's in love with her bridegroom, waiting for the bridegroom to come back so that we can get married. I want to love you like that. That's how I lived with Jesus in my younger days, and I want to live with Jesus even now. And I get up in my bed in the morning, I say, Lord, you're my bridegroom. I want to live with you. I want to love you like I loved you 60 years ago when I was born again, till the end of my life, and one day I'll see you face to face. My life with Jesus is exciting because I'm in love with him. He's my bridegroom, and I'm fervently looking forward, like the Song of Solomon says, for my bridegroom to come. You live like that with the Lord, your life will be exciting, your life will be overcoming. You won't be drawn away by the temptations of the world, and you'll have no problem switching out the TV set from wasting time watching the lot of rubbish they have there. And you'll watch only the good things. And your children will see that dad and mom watch only what is good, and they turn it off when something is not good. And your children will grow up to value things because they see you value those things. And you'll find your conversation with your husband and wife become more pleasant and loving at home. And your children grow up watching that, and they'll grow up one day and say, I want to have a home like my dad and mom had at home. What a wonderful way to bring up our children. There's so much of evil in the world today that if we don't train our children at home, we're going to lose them. And I want to tell you, the richer you are, the richer country you live in, there are more dangers for your children when they grow up. They are more taken up with their gadgets than with each other. Young people today have hardly any time for conversation and fellowship. They're always on their phone. All the time. They have their Bibles on their phone, some of them, but they don't go to that. They're texting and this horrible thing called Facebook, which so many people tell each other what they cooked for lunch today and what they're planning to eat for dinner tomorrow and where they went. And a lot of it is just boasting. This is what I did, and that's what I make poor other people who can't do those things feel sad. I traveled here. I traveled there. Oh, what a scenery that was. And that poor person watching yours, who's one of your friends on Facebook, he can't afford to go outside his own village or town. What, how have you helped him spiritually? You just made him jealous of you by your boasting about where all you went and pictures of your scenery of this. You think Jesus would ever do something like that? You think Jesus would make other people feel bad that they can't have what you have? Or can't eat the type of food you can cook in your home? Or can't travel to the places you can travel to? What type of Christian is that? I don't have a Facebook account. I don't believe, I never will. Somebody has put a fan page with Zach Poonen and Annie Poonen. I don't know who did it. I still haven't found out who it is. If I find out who it is, I'll tell them to take it down. I don't want it. But at least I heard that they put only some messages and all. Some people reply to that, hey, Brother Zach, they don't even know, that's not my page. I don't know who's put it up there. But I don't believe in that. I don't believe in telling people where I went or what wonderful sights I saw. I can tell people what wonderful brothers I met who love the Lord. But that's not an exciting thing to write on Facebook. Or how somebody denied themselves to follow Jesus. Where do you read such things? No, brothers and sisters, we have to be careful how we spend our time. There are people who have time for Facebook who have no time for God's book. Sad. Where will you build a church like that? And if you have such habits in your life, I tell you, you're paving the way to destroy your children and lose them one day. And one day when they are lost, you will weep and cry, oh, brother, please pray for my children. Well, you're the one who led them astray. You didn't have time for them. Like this 19-year-old girl, who Christian, who her mother said, hey, can I have some time with you? And the mother and daughter. And she said, Mom, when I was 5 years old, and I came to you and wanted to talk to you, you said, hey, go away, I don't have time now. Now I say to you, I don't have time for you. You don't have time for your 5 year old because you're busy with something, your work, or you're making money. Don't be surprised if when that girl grows up to be 19, tells you, mom, I don't have time for you, sorry. Or your son. You fathers, if you don't have time for your little boys to go hug them, take them out on a date, on a little picnic all by yourself with them, you don't have time for that, you're busy making money. Don't be surprised if one day they drift away from you and say, dad, I have no time to listen to you. You had no time for me when I was 5 years old. You were busy with your things. You were not interested in the things I was interested in. Why should I be interested in what you're trying to tell me now? Parents are losing their children because they don't have time for them. They are busy with a whole lot of other things. To earn your living and to your work is essential. That I agree. You need to. Sometimes you have to work long hours. But in the midst of it all, I'm sure you can find time for your children. Do you hug them? Why do you hug only your little six-month-old baby? What about your 15-year-old son? Do you ever hug him? Or your 15-year-old daughter? They need your hugs as well. Sure. We must show them that we love them with a physical touch. Don't hug other people's children, but we hug your own. Very, very important. My sons are more than 40 years old. I hug all of them even now. And I'll never stop. The physical touch is so important. You husbands and wives, do you hug each other? And tell each other that you really love each other? Or did you say all tender words only at the beginning? Family life is being attacked by the devil. Build it up. The church consists of, foundation is our assurance that God loves us perfectly. The ground floor or the first story is our personal walk with God and our conscience. The second story is our family life, relationship with wife and children. The top story is the church. You can't build the church if you don't have the foundation of God loves you perfectly, if you don't have that first story of a walk with God with a clear conscience, and the second story of building your family, your relationship with your wife and children, then think of church and ministry. That's the reason why so many churches are not being built as a body of Christ. You know, I started preaching about 60 years ago, and when I got married and we had children, I said, Lord, if my children go astray, I'll stop preaching. Because the Bible says if you can't bring up your four sons in a proper way, where are you going to teach other people to, 100 people to live properly? The Lord says, four sons I gave you, and you couldn't bring them up in a proper way to follow me. You're trying to preach to 100 people. Just forget it. That's written in 1 Timothy chapter 2. So I told the Lord, I respect your word. And you know when you need to start that? When that child is 1 year old. Start talking to it, fellowshipping with it, and as it grows up, that fellowship will remain. I remember my wife used to talk to my children every day when they came back from school. She gave up her profession as a doctor only to be with the children. Okay, she didn't make the thousands of rupees she could make as a doctor, but we have four children who are wholeheartedly following the Lord today. Which is better? $4 million or four sons who follow the Lord? I have no doubt in my mind which is heavier. I hope you will have no regret when your children are grown up. And you sit back, oh, I wish I'd spent more time when they were young. Now is the time to think about that, my brothers, sisters. When your children are small, spend time with them. Cut down some of that unimportant work. Even cut out some church meeting if needed. Because you say, I've spent time with my family. Build the church. Seek to build fellowship with your family, with your wife. The devil is attacking fellowship between husbands and wives. Don't neglect your wife. Don't ignore fellowship with your wife or fellowship with your children. Take time to say nice words and don't overcome your temper and discipline your children and seek to spend time with them. They are precious gifts God has given us to bring up for His glory. And thus we shall build a church.